Satan's tempting Jesus not to fulfill his calling on earth. He's saying, this is my domain and I'll give it to you. First, he's taunting him. Like, if you're really God, then do this. If you're really God, then do that. And then he tempts him with, I'll give you all of this if you give yourself to me. But he was, you know, trying his old usual tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't forget that Jesus was human at this time. So perhaps Satan thought, oh, I know how to tempt humans. If Jesus is going to take on humanhood, maybe I can pull a fast one here. Welcome to Study with Friends. I'm so glad you're with us today to talk about Mark's portrait of Jesus as the suffering servant. It's such a blessing to be able to see our Savior in that light. If you'd like to hear the rest of this series, you can search Mark on our website, studywithfriends.org, and you can listen there, online, or search us on your favorite podcast service like Spotify or iTunes. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We provide inspiration and encouragement from God's Word in your feed every day. If you have questions, you can post them right there on our Facebook page. We love that. And we promise to answer on the Facebook wall or maybe even on the air. Let's talk a little more about Jesus as the suffering servant. So can you guys pick one or two scriptures that you felt were good examples of Jesus suffering in the first column of verses that I chose?
I think the first one, like the first verse that you have for suffering, it's in chapter 1. Verses 12 and 13. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. So, from that, like, I mean, obviously he's suffering the whole time. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, being tempted by Satan's not, you know, all fun and games. But I think it's back to the relatability. And, like, I know not all of us are going to be in a desert for 40 days, mm-hmm. but there are times in your life when you're struggling with temptation for a long time. And I think that's relatable. And like, he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can be tempted for 40 days or for, you know, 100 days, you know, however long we're tempted for. And it's like, I don't know, I just thought that was relatable.
Yeah, as far as suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Certainly, it's the first big example of his suffering in the detailed ministry of the Gospels. There's more. So here again, we talked about Mark being a fast paced scripture. There's more in Matthew, chapter 4:1-11 on, Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, but Mark kind of blows by it.
Isn't that when I'm trying to think, isn't that when he was in the, there was the thing in scripture. I'm trying to remember if it was that thing for Matthew when he was on like the roof of the building. Okay,
yeah,
that's
so
what I was thinking.
There are three. So in the during the 40 days, mm-hmm. Satan
there was
says,
the bread.
If you're really Jesus, turn this rock into bread.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really Jesus, jump down from this temple. If you're really, you know, and then he says, I'll give you everything. So Satan's tempting him not to fulfill his calling. Satan's tempting Jesus not to fulfill his calling on earth. He's saying, this is my domain and I'll give it to you. First, he's taunting him, like, if you're really God, then do this. If you're really God, then do that. And then he tempts him with, I'll give you all of this if you give yourself to me.
That never made sense to me. I'm like, you weren't even the person that created it all. So how are mm-hmm. you saying, like, I'll give you all this? It's like, I already have it. I mm-hmm. made it. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, sure.
So that's to give.
You're right. Yeah. But he was, you know, trying his old usual tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and don't forget that Jesus was human at this time. So perhaps Satan thought he had an in, like, oh, I know how to tempt humans. If Jesus is going to take on humanhood, maybe I can pull a fast one here.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, that's dumb, but.
Come on now.
Okay.
We're talking about Jesus.
I know, but, you know, again, this was something that was new to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, right. Gianna, do you have one that you like?
Yeah. It's 8:11-13, and I was saying there's a lot of different definitions of suffering, both in this, in Mark, just in general, and in life. You know, like, my suffering as a Christian is very different than a Christian in Syria's suffering, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I liked that Mark highlighted multiple different examples of suffering, not necessarily, you know, being, I mean, obviously, he was brutally murdered, but also, you know, he was cast out of towns and he was, you know, basically refugee.
He suffered in many ways.
Mm-hmm. And this one is a very interesting and yet still relevant form of suffering. Because, so I'll just read it. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. So it is literal canon that Jesus was frustrated with this generation, which I think is a fantastic sentence. And also just like, I think it's highlights the constant berating and the constant questioning and the constant, like, after 3 years, that's, you know, he sighed deeply in his spirit, which is not just sighing like, oh, you know, it's like this thing again. It's he sighed in his soul. He was like, he was irritated. Like, and like, I get irritated if someone, you know, it's like, if a little kid asks me the same thing over and over again, I'm like, shut up. Like, he had everyone questioning him all the time. And yes, you know, there was a lot to question, but still, he's like, they were saying, like, it's similar to Satan, you know, like, coming off of what you were saying, similar to how Satan was like, if you're really God, if you're really Jesus, do this. If you're really the Son of God, show us this. And he's like, I'm not going to. I don't need to. Like, I've shown you, I'm showing you through my ministry and through my work. But, you know, it's, so it's like,
I love that you pointed out that there are a lot of different kinds of suffering. And I hope that we,
all of what she has been through.
Physical suffering, emotional suffering, spiritual suffering,
mental suffering.
Logistical suffering, like, you know. So I hope that you're blessed by the list that we put in the homework. Let's do a couple of, scriptures from servant, this, the list of servanthood. And then, we'll wrap up. Anybody want to pull one up out of, and again, if you want to dig more into this topic, go to studywithfriends.org, pull up the homework. We have a list of, I don't know, 25 or 30 verses out of the Gospel of Mark that lift out the idea of Jesus serving and suffering. So what do you guys, what do you guys want to lift out when it comes to serving?
I had a question about an example of serving, in the feeding of the 5,000 and also the 4,000, which I'm not going to lie to you. Mother, I didn't know that there was another example of
that. I didn't either.
I was like, is that a typo?
That's okay. 5, this is what happens. The more you study the word, the more you're like, hey, I didn't know that. That's great.
So we got some residual trauma from my statistics class. So the point of the 12 extra baskets, and this, I think it was seven or nine, I can't remember. Then the second time around,
seven loaves of bread. Is that what you're talking about?
No. How many baskets were left over after he did the miracle?
And there was like extra. So the point of the extra baskets is they had so much food. You know, it's based off of 5 loaves and or 2 seven. Fish. Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Based on however many they started with. The point isn't necessarily the exact number. It's the point that there was extra.
Yeah.
But, like, we have, we haven't established in this recording, but, like, I've heard and I've, like, and people have said that it was 5,000 men, not including women and children. So there was probably about 10,000 people total there. That's a lot of people. And, like, for that, estimating that much food for that much people, 12 extra baskets is a very reasonable margin of error. And I'm not saying that Jesus made an error. It's like margin of error. Here comes the residual statistics. Is like a give or take. So you know you're talking yeah, I'm looking at a crowd of people and I'm going, okay, I'm going to need about 20 million pounds of food, give or take 12 baskets, you know?
Well, let me speak to that. And then I want to get back to the suffering servant, but I want to speak to what you're saying. I don't think Jesus did it because I don't think it worked out that way because of statistics. I think it worked out to show us very plainly that God can bless the small thing that we have, do everything we need to do with it, and he'll still, we can still reap an overflow because God has endless love for us, endless care for us. We won't ever reach the bottom of that well. I think it was a practical, and then I think it was a practical example for the simple mind, which yours is not. Yours is complex mind, and she's thinking about all different fragments of how this might play out. But I think for the simple mind, for the simplicity and beauty of it, he started with something. He met every need, and yet there was still enough. So plenty left over. It's like the scripture that says, "My cup runneth over."
It was just like weirdly close, and I feel like if he was that close.
Yeah, don't
get
stuck on that.
Why not be more or
don't get stuck
less.
On that. Yeah, don't get okay. stuck on that. And, you know, that's a whole nother Bible study. What do we do with the overflow? That could be a study that we could do. We could look at all the places in the Bible where it talks about more overflow and extra. And what are we called to do with the overflow as believers? So think on that. While you
eat it.
So talk to me about the examples of servanthood from the second from the second column that mm-hmm. you felt were relevant.
I actually found in chapter 4, verse 34, when it was talking about Jesus explaining the parables. Hold on. And it actually, like, I was reading more into it, so I'm going to start at verse, like, 30-ish, because that makes more sense. And...
Okay, so you're reading from Mark 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go.
Again, he said, "What shall we say say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. And I think that people are always, with the servant part of this, people are always thinking like, oh, he healed all these people, but it's also like, he's also like ministering to his disciples.
Yes.
And I just thought it was interesting. Like, he's like, oh, you know, I'll explain it later. Guys, like, I'll explain it later.
Which and also, they were hanging out later.
Which
so
also,
like, I'll tell you about, I'll talk to you.
Which also goes back to how they didn't always 100% understand. He needed to explain it. But I love that you really captured both of those elements of him serving the people around him.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that when we talk about servanthood, mm-hmm. we shouldn't only think of people in our church who are serving meals. We can also think of the people who are teaching,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly.
And discipling, because these are all acts of service to the kingdom.
Exactly.
Really good point, Caitlin.
Thank you.
Would you read the cross-reference, Gianna?
Yeah.
This is the only one I put in a cross-reference for.
It's
John 15:5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
So he's saying, all I need is a little bit and I will grow it.
Mm.
And then here in John 15, mm-hmm. he's saying, stay with me and you'll grow.
So I want to talk about what is like a servant, what is service, because a few times the Pharisees and people are getting on him about working on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that might be in the suffering due to serving. Did you look at these?
Maybe.
So that's kind of what I did in this column.
I know that
I was like times that he got persecuted because of his serving.
Yeah, I know that 2:23-27.
That was in suffering. That wasn't in.
It was kind of hard to quantify all of them.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
But just like, you know, like what you were saying, serving takes a lot of forms, you know, and like also so does working,
mm-hmm.
you know, quote unquote working, because in, you know, in Israel they have like Sabbath elevators that stop at every floor so that you don't have to press a button
mm-hmm.
on the Sabbath because that qualifies as working.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, like I think it's just a good highlight of how serving looks different to a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. Like he, you know, so to some people,
yeah, like Caitlin consider said,
it working. Some people, it's just him allowing that power to go out of him through his garments.
Mm-hmm. It's like all you said, serving.
Yeah, I know you said like it's like he didn't. It did like she just. It was just her desire to be healed that healed her. Without, not necessarily. Yeah, I know. But
I
you
said her desire met with the power that existed in him, mm-hmm. and had a conversation that didn't need words.
Yeah, but he still. I think I can. I know that he said who touched me, but like we also do know that he knows who touched him. Like I think that mm-hmm. was for her benefit. To like
and those the benefit of people the people around because yeah he could like, have healed so, he could have healed her by touching the garment and kept walking and no one would have known
he may have done that stopped. To others
that's a good point
we don't know
that's a great point
but
so you're that, right serving comes
so even that counts as serving you know even just allowing yes. that power to go out of him
yes
counts as serving so healing, does exorcisms.
Healing for sure is serving
so you know serving is also expelling demons. Serving is also multiplying food. Like it's, there's mm-hmm. a lot of different examples in Mark about serving and what that looks like. And I think it's a good reference for us today that like you can do serving a lot of different ways.
Yeah. And and you can do it in the ways that
you can serve,
that you're wired to do it.
Yeah.
Like I am a teacher.
Yeah, you are.
And I love to teach and I believe that I've been gifted to teach. But, and I love children. I love my children and I love Thanks. Other children. But I've never felt called to do children's ministry in our church. That's not like we yeah. could, we should all serve in the way that we've been gifted to serve. And by Jesus's example, we can see there are many ways that are appropriate and a blessing to serve.
And God bless Miss Kay because that's exactly how she was. You know, in our church, that's exactly how she was called. That's Brittany. Exactly how they were called to serve.
Yeah, and they're great at it. I would not be as great.
I
would lose my patience a little sooner than they. Okay, so there's a lot. There's so much more in the homework. I wish we had time. Maybe we'll do a second session tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I wish we had more time to do it. In light of the time we have today, I do want to wrap up by asking you both to tell me what taking up your cross and following him means in your life today. Mm. What does it mean to you personally? What do you think it means in the life of a believer? And I'm going to go ahead and call out, what do you think it means in the life of an 18-year-old young woman, as you have a unique perspective on that at this moment in time? And I don't. Talk to me about your experience. What does suffering mean to you? Have you ever felt a time where you had to suffer for the gospel? What does suffering, what does it mean? You've heard people say suffering for the sake of the gospel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can give examples. Oh, well, you went to a Christian school your whole life, but Gianna didn't. So Gianna could give examples. I'm sure we won't do this because it's anecdotal. But anyone who went to a secular school could give you examples of suffering for your faith because you get ridiculed by teachers and students. Maybe you get ridiculed in your neighborhood. As an adult, I can tell you, a large part of my family is atheists. And so that's definitely a way that I feel a little bit persecuted as a result of my faith. These are small sufferings. They mm-hmm. pale in comparison to Jesus's sufferings. But this is what I want to open the floor for. And then, Lynn, go a little deeper and think about how taking up your cross daily and following him. What does that really, really look like in your life? How does it look right now in this season of your life as you're getting ready to leave for college? Let's talk really specifically about what you think that means for you today.
Well, for me, it's like, I just lost my thought. Oh, so like I ride outside of school. I mean, I took a break this year, but I had my barn friends.
Horses. She rides horses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Horses. Anyway, so I had like my barn friends and none of them were Christian. So that was something to deal with. And it never really, there was like one time when it came up about talking about my faith because we were talking about homosexual people. And I was like, I don't have an issue with them. I just don't support what they're doing with their lives because it's a sin. But I'm not going to hate on them for it. I'm going to be nice to them and I'm going to minister to them.
And love them.
And love them, exactly. And like, it was a great moment because neither of the two people I was with were like, oh, that's weird. They're like, oh, yeah, like, you're entitled to your own opinion. And, like, that was really nice to experience something like that. And for, like, the taking up my cross, I think with them, some of them do things that I wouldn't do. And, I mean, it's hard to, like, for this to, like, relate to it because none of them would ever, like, judge me. Like, oh, like, you're so weird. You don't, like, smoke or drink or do any of that stuff. They weren't ever, like, judgmental of me, which was, it was a really good thing that they weren't, because that's something, like, I would be nervous about, like, oh, like, I don't do these things and stuff like that. They're just, like, not something I do. And there are people that will judge you for that, and, like, I know that's going to happen in my life. But yeah, I think it was a good, like, teaching moment for me to be able to say, like, oh, I don't do those things, because sometimes people just stay quiet. Mm-hmm. And they don't say, like, oh, I don't do those things. And it was, like, it was a good thing for me to, like,
go through that. To be able to be bold enough to say.
I was like, I don't drink. I don't do that thing. I don't smoke. I don't have any interest in doing stuff like that.
I understand what you're saying.
And I think that was a good thing to go through.
Okay, now I'm going to come back to you in a minute with this question. I want you to have a minute to think about it. You've had a minute, so I hope you're ready to say something, Jake.
Ready.
That's good. Those are great. Thank you for sharing those examples from your life up till now. Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so glad you were with us today. We hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. Would you prayerfully consider helping to financially support the ministry of Study with Friends? A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Please write us. We love to hear from you. We always pass it around and celebrate that you cared enough to send it. And we pray for you too. Can I tell you a little secret? We also send a small gift to everyone who writes us. It's a little magnet and people love it, so we keep sending it. If you're blessed by us on this station, please just let us know so we can become friends. You can email us at info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. So if you don't attend regularly Sunday services or a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll talk more about the book of Mark. See you next time we study with friends.